What's going on, everybody? This is Ben from Retro Ben Gaming. With all the craziness happening in the world today, I decided to add a little positivity to it with this podcast. This podcast is going to focus on all things video games, whether it's discussing them, playing them, or just getting them on the cheap. Now, whether you're a PC player or a console player, I believe we all have something to add to this conversation. So I hope you enjoy the podcast, and as always, keep gaming. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the podcast. Thank you so much for being here. I truly appreciate it. Today we're going to talk about a game that I played once or twice as a kid. I more watched other people play it because it was a little too fast-paced for me, and I didn't quite get it. I played it a lot more as an adult, but this was a game that I wish I would have gotten as a kid. I probably would have enjoyed it a heck of a lot more. That game, of course, is Space Harrier. I know a lot of people played this game. A lot of people still play this game to this day. But let's talk about the history of Space Harrier. I hope you enjoy. Space Harrier is a third-person arcade rail shooter game developed by Sega and released in 1985. It was originally conceived as a realistic military-themed game played in the third-person perspective and featured a player-controlled fighter jet, but technical and memory restrictions resulted in Sega developer Yu Suzuki redesigning it around a jet-propelled human character in a fantasy setting. The arcade game is controlled by an analog flight stick, while the deluxe arcade cabinet is a cockpit-style hydraulic motion simulator cabinet that tilts and rolls during play, for which it is referred to as a Taken or a body sensation arcade game in Japan. It was a commercial success in arcades, becoming one of Japan's top two highest-grossing upright cockpit arcade games of 1986, along with Sega's Hang-On. Critically praised for its innovative graphics, gameplay, and motion cabinet, Space Harrier is often ranked among Suzuki's best works. It has made several crossover appearances in other Sega titles and inspired a number of clones and imitators. While Capcom and Platinum Games director Hideki Kamiya cited it as an inspiration for his entire video game industry. Space Harrier has been ported to over 20 different home computer and gaming platforms, either by Sega or by outside developers such as Denpa in Japan and Elite Systems in North America and Europe. Two home system sequels followed in Space Harrier 3D and Space Harrier 2, both released in 1988, and the arcade spinoff Planet Harriers. A polygon-based remake of the original game was released by Sega for the PlayStation 2 as part of the Sega Ages series in 2003. Space Harrier is a fast-paced rail shooter game played in a third-person perspective behind the protagonist, set in a surreal world composed of brightly covered landscapes adorned with checkerboard-style grounds and stationary objects such as trees or stone pillars. At the start of the gameplay, players are greeted with a voice sample speaking, "Welcome to the Fantasy Zone, get ready," in addition to, "You're doing great," with the successful completion of a stage. The title player character, simply named Harrier, navigates a continuous series of 18 district stages while utilizing an underarm jet-propelled laser cannon that enables Harrier to simultaneously fly and shoot. The objective is simply to destroy all enemies, who range from prehistoric animals and Chinese dragons to flying robots, airborne geometric objects, and alien pods, all while remaining in constant motion in order to dodge projectiles and immovable ground obstacles. 15 of the game's 18 stages contain a boss at the end that must be killed in order to progress to the next level. The final stage is a rush of 7 past bosses encountered up to that point that appear individually and are identified by name at the bottom of the screen. The 2 other levels are bonus stages that contain no enemies, and where Harrier mounts an invincible cat-like dragon named Uriah, whom the player maneuvers to smash through landscape obstacles and collect bonus points. After all lives are lost, players have the option of continuing gameplay with the insertion of an extra coin. As Space Harrier has no storyline, after the completion of all stages, only the end is displayed before the game returns to the title screen in attract mode, regardless of how many of the player's extra lives remain. The game was first conceived by a Sega designer named Ida, who wrote a 100-page document proposing the idea of a 3-dimensional shooter that contained the word Harrier in the title. The game would feature a player-controlled fighter jet that shot missiles into realistic foregrounds, a concept that was soon rejected due to the extensive work required to project the aircraft realistically from varying angles as it moved around the screen. Coupled with arcade machines' memory limitations, Sega developer Yu Suzuki therefore simplified the title character to a human, which required less memory and realism to depict on screen. He then wrote the entire original proposal, changing the style of the game to a science fiction setting while keeping only the hairier name. His inspirations for the game new design were the 1984 film The Neverending Story, the 1982 anime series Space Cobra, and the work of artist Roger Dean. Certain enemies were modeled on characters from the anime series Gundam. Suzuki included a nod to the original designer in the finished project with an enemy character named Ida, a large moe-like floating stone head, because the designer had a really big head. Three different arcade cabinets were produced: an upright cabinet, a sit-down version with a fixed seat, and its best-known incarnation, a deluxe cockpit-style rolling cabinet that was mounted on a motorized base and moved depending on the direction of which players pushed the joystick. Sega was hesitant to have the cabinets built due to high construction costs. Suzuki, who had proposed the cabinet designs, offered his salary as compensation if the game failed, but it would instead become a major hit in arcades. Suzuki had little involvement with the game after its initial release. The Master System port was developed by Matsushiro Fuji and Yuji Naka, and they added a final boss and an ending sequence which were included in subsequent ports. The game was too successful for Sega to abandon the series, and other Sega staff such as Naoto Oshima, the character designer for Sonic the Hedgehog, Katoro Hayashida, the planner of Alex Kidd in Miracle World, and Toshishiro Nagoshi, the director of Super Monkey Ball, have had involvement in various sequels. In a 2015 interview, Suzuki said that he would have liked to create a new Space Harrier by himself and was pleased to see it ported to the Nintendo 3DS. Space Harrier was one of the first arcade releases to use 16-bit graphics and scale sprite, i.e. superscaler technology, that allowed pseudo 3D sprite scaling at high frame rates, with the ability to display 32,000 colors on screen. Running on the Sega Space Harrier arcade system board, previously used in Suzuki's 1985 arcade debut Hang-On, pseudo 3D sprite tile scaling is used for the stage backgrounds while the character graphics are sprite-based. Suzuki explained in 2010 that his designs were always 3D from the beginning. All the calculations in the system were 3D, even from Hang-On. I calculated the position, scale, and zoom rate in 3D and converted it backwards to 2D. So I was always thinking in 3D. The game's soundtrack is by Hishiro Kawaguchi, who composed drafts on a Yamaha DX7 synthesizer and wrote up the final versions as sheet music, as he had no access to a real music sequencer at the time. A Zilog Z80 CPU powering both a Yamaha YM2203 synthesis chip and Sega's PCM unit that was used for audio and digitized voice samples. Space Harrier utilized an analog flight stick as its controller that allowed on-screen movement in all directions, while the velocity of the character's flight is unchangeable. The degree of push and acceleration varies depending on how far the stick is moved in a certain direction. Two separate fire buttons are mounted on the joystick and on the control panel. Either one can be pressed rapidly in order to shoot at enemies. The Deluxe Arcade Cabinet is a cockpit-style hydraulic motion simulator cabinet that tilts and rolls during play, for which is referred to as a Taikan, or a body sensation arcade game in Japan. Space Harrier has been ported to numerous home computer systems and gaming consoles for over a quarter of a century, with most early translations unable to reproduce the original's advanced visual or audio capabilities, while the controls were switched from analog to digital. The first port was released in 1986 for the Master System, or the Mark III, in Japan, developed by Sega AM R&D4. The first 2-megabyte cartridge produced for the console, this game was given a plot in which Harrier saves the land of the dragons, rather than the fantasy zone, from destruction, with a new ending sequence in contrast to the arcade version's simple "the end" message. All 18 stages were present, but the backdrops therein were omitted, leaving just a monochromatic horizon and a checkerboard floor. An exclusive final boss was included in a powerful twin-bodied fire dragon named Haya-O, who was named after then Sega president Hayao Nakayama. The 1991 Game Gear port is based on its Master System counterpart, but with redesigned enemies and only 12 stages, while Rupto Games produced a near duplicate of the arcade version in 1994 for the 32X add-on for the Sega Genesis. Both systems featured box art by Mark Erickson. Other releases were developed for non-Sega gaming systems, such as the TurboGrafx-16 and the Famicom. While Europe and North America saw home computer ports by Elite Systems for the ZX Spectrum, Amstrad, and the Commodore 64, among others. M2, in collaboration with Sega CS3, ported Space Harrier to the handheld Nintendo 3DS console in 2013, complete with stereoscopic 3D and widescreen graphics, a process that took 18 months. Sega CS3 producer Yoshiko Okunari described the game's 3D conversion process as almost impossible. When you take a character sprite that was originally in 2D and bring it into a 3D viewpoint, you have to build the graphics from scratch. During development, M2 president Nakoi Hori sought opinions from staff members regarding the gameplay of the arcade original. They'd say it was hard to tell whether objects were right in front of the character or not. Once they had the game in 3D, the same people came back and said, "Okay, now I get it. I can play it now." The port included a feature that allowed players to use the 3DS's gyroscope to simulate the experience of the original motorized cabinet by way of a tilting screen, compounded by the optional activation of the sounds of button clicks and the cabinet's movement. Hori recalled in a 2015 interview that he was intrigued by the possibility of crafting Space Harrier and passed Sega arcade games for the 3DS using stereoscopic technology. Both Sega and M2 wanted to see what would happen if we added a little bit of spice to their titles in the form of modern gaming technology. Would it enhance the entertainment factor? I think the reception that the releases have had from critics highlights that these games are as relevant today as ever, and that means we've succeeded. The game was commercially successful upon its initial arcade release. Sega unveiled Space Harrier at the 1985 Amusement Machine Show in Japan, where it was the most popular game. In January 1986, Game Machine listed Space Harrier as being the top grossing title on the monthly upright cockpit arcade cabinet charts in Japan. It remained at the top of the upright cockpit arcade charts for much of 1986 through February, March, and early April, then returning to the top in May, remaining at the top through June, July, and August, and then topping the charts again in October. Overall, the Space Harrier rolling type cabinet was Japan's second highest grossing upright cockpit arcade cabinet during the first half of 1986, just below Hang-On. And overall, the highest-grossing upright cockpit arcade game during the latter half of 1986. It was later Japan's seventh highest upright cockpit arcade game of 1987. The arcade game was positively received by critics upon release. Reviewing the game at the 1986 Amusement Trades Expedition International in London, Claire Edgley of Computer and Video Games hailed it as a crowd-stopper due to its realistic moving cockpit, graphical capabilities, and amazing technicolor landscapes, but cautioned, unless you're an expert, you will find it very difficult. Mike Roberts of Computer Gaming Magazine praised the extremely good graphics, the quite good 3D effects, and the cockpit simulator cabinet. The July 1986 issue of Japanese magazine Gamist ranked Space Harrier at number one on its list of the best Sega arcade games. The game was also positively received upon its home release. The home computer conversion of Space Harrier is at the top five of the UK sales chart in December 1986, and was tied as runner-up with the Commodore 6 title, Uranium, for Game of the Year honors of the 1986 Golden Joystick Awards. Ed Samrad of the Milwaukee Journal gave the Master System port a 9 out of 10 rating, and Computer Gaming World deemed it the best arcade shoot-em-up of the year, as exciting a game as this reviewer has ever played. Phil Campbell of the Sydney Morning Herald praised the 1989 Amiga conversion as absorbing and a faithful copy of the original. Computer and Video Games called the port an entirely unpretentious computer game full of weird and wacky nasties. Paul Malarick of Sega Force wrote that the Game Gear version was amazingly close to the original. The scrolling is the speediest and smoothest ever seen. GamePro commented that the 32X version had straightforward controls, graphics relatively close to the arcade version, and was a nice trip down memory lane, while Next Generation dubbed it as decent, solid game. All Game called the game a must-have title for the 32X system. Lucas Thomas of IGN rated the 2008 Wii port a 4.5 out of 10, citing its poor visuals and poor control and dulled color palette. Jeff Gertzman of Giant Bomb, in his review of Sonic's Ultimate Genesis Collection, criticized the Space Harrier's emulation's numerous audio issues that made it sound completely different from the way the original game sounds. Bob Mackey of US Gamer was critical of the Nintendo 3DS port. The game continues to garner praise for its audio, visual, and gameplay features. GameSet Watch's Trevor Wilson remarked in 2006, "It's easy to see why the game is so well loved to this day, with its blinding speed and classic tunes." In 2008, Retro Gamer editor Darren Jones described the game as difficult, but a thing of beauty that even today possesses a striking elegance that urges you to return to it for just one more go. That same year, IGN's Levi Buchanan opined, "Even today, Space Harrier is a sight to behold. A hell of poppin' explosion of light, color, and imagination." Eric Twice of Snack Bar Games noted in 2013, "It's easy to just see it as just a game in which you press the button and things die. But Suzuki is a very conscious designer. He has a very specific vision behind each of his games, and nothing in them is ever left to chance." In a 2013 Eurogamer retrospective on the series, Rich Stanton observed, "The speed at which Space Harrier moves has rarely been matched. It's not an easy thing to design a game around. Many other games have fast parts or certain mechanics tied to speed, and it's interesting to note how many take control away at this point. Every time I play Space Harrier, the speed blows me away one more time. It's a monster." Eric Francisco of Inverse described the game's visuals in 2015 as, "Imagine an acid trip through an 80s anime, a Robert Jordan novel, and early Silicon Valley binge coding sessions." GamesRadar ranked the arcade original's bonus stage among the 25 best bonus levels of all time in 2014, liking it to players piloting the never-ending story's dragon character Falcor. Kotaku named the Space Harrier tribute stage from Bayonetta in their 2013 selection of the trippiest video game levels. Also in 2013, Hanneman Welch of Complex included Space Harrier among the 10 Sega games he felt warranted a modern reboot, citing its kinetic pace that would be welcomed in today's systems. Space Harrier spawned two home system sequels in 1988. The Master System exclusive Space Harrier 3D utilized Sega's SegaScope 3D glasses and featured the same gameplay and visuals as the port of the original game while containing new stage, enemy, and boss designs. Space Harrier 2 was one of six launch titles for the Japanese debut of the Mega Drive, or the Sega Genesis, and released as such in the United States in August 1989. In December 2000, 15 years after the original game's debut, Sega released the loose arcade sequel Planet Harriers, which again continued the gameplay style of the franchise but featured four new selectable characters, each possessing distinct weapons, in addition to five fully realized stages and a new option of purchasing weapon power-ups. However, Planet Harriers had only a minimal presence in the United States due to its faltering arcade scene, and it was never given a home release. In 2003, a remake of this original Space Harrier was developed by Tamsoft as part of the Japanese Sega Ages Classic game series for the PlayStation 2. The graphics are composed of polygons instead of sprites, while several characters were redesigned, and a selectable option allows players to switch to a fractal mode that replaces the traditional checkerboard floors with texture-mapped playfields and includes two new underground stages. Power-ups such as bombs and lock-on targeting fly toward and are caught by the player during gameplay. The original Space Harrier was packaged with three of Yu Suzuki's other works, Afterburner, Outrun, and Super Hang-On, for the 2003 Game Boy Advance release Sega Arcade Gallery. The Space Harrier Complete Collection, developed by M2 for the PlayStation 2, followed on October 27, 2005 to commemorate the 20th anniversary of the franchise and was composed of all the official series releases to go with the various generations of our customers, according to Yoshiki Okunari. Bonus content included a record and replay feature and an arcade promotional material gallery, in addition to images of Hiroshi Kawaguchi's sheet music and notes for the original game's soundtrack. The 1991 Game Gear port is hidden therein as an Easter egg. Space Harrier was re-released for the Nintendo Switch as part of the Sega Ages lineup. Space Harrier has shared an unofficial connection with other Sega shooter franchise, Fantasy Zone, which debuted in Japanese arcades in March 1986. Both series are believed to be set in the same universe. Space Harrier's opening line of dialogue at the start of gameplay is "Welcome to the Fantasy Zone," has been cited as a reason, but this was dispelled by Fantasy Zone director Yoji Ishii in a 2014 interview. A 1989 port of Fantasy Zone for the Japan-exclusive Sharp X68000 contains a hidden stage called Dragonland that features Space Harrier enemy characters and is accessible only by following a very specific set of instructions. In 1991, NEC Avenue developed Space Fantasy Zone for the CD-ROM, featuring Fantasy Zone's main character Opa Opa navigating 9 levels of combined gameplay elements and enemies from both franchises. Despite a December 1991 preview in Electronic Gaming Monthly and advertising designed by artist Satoshi Yoshiriha, Space Fantasy Zone was never released due to a legal dispute with Sega over NEC's unauthorized use of the Fantasy Zone property. However, bootleg copies were produced after a playable beta version of the game was released on the internet. Opa Opa is included in Planet Harriers as a hidden character, while one of 3 available endings in the 2007 PlayStation 2 release, Fantasy Zone 2DX, has Harrier and Uriah attempting to eliminate a turned evil Opa Opa bent on destroying the game's eponymous Fantasy Zone. The arcade version of Space Harrier is included in the 1999 Dreamcast action-adventure title Shenmue as a minigame, and as a full port in the 2001 sequel Shenmue 2. Sega Superstars Tennis and a 2010 adventure game Bayonetta feature Space Harrier-inspired minigames. The title is available as an unlockable game in Sonic's Ultimate Genesis Collection for the Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 3, though with sound emulation differences. In the 2012 title, Sonic and All-Stars Racing's Transformed, a remixed version of the Space Harrier main theme plays during the Race of Ages stage, in which a holographic statue of Harrier and a flying dragon appear in the background. In addition, Shenmue character Ryu Hazuki pilots a flying Space Harrier set-down arcade cabinet during airborne levels. Sega included an emulation of the original titles as a minigame in several titles of the Yakuza series, such as the 2015 release Yakuza 0 and the 2018 release Yakuza 6 The Song of Life, Fists of the North Star, Lost Paradise, and Judgment. The success of Space Harrier resulted in the development of other first third-person rail shooters that attempted to emulate its three-dimensional scaling, visuals, and gameplay capabilities, causing them to be labeled Space Harrier clones. One of the most notable examples is the 1987 Square title, The 3D Battle of World Runner for the Famicom and Nintendo Entertainment System, which was followed by Pony Canyon's 1987 Famicom release, Attack Animal Gakuen, and other Japan-exclusive games such as Namco's Burning Force, Asmik's Cosmic Epsilon, and Wolf Team's Jimmy Denshu, all released in 1989. According to Allgame, Nintendo's Star Fox was influenced by early first-person 3D shooters such as Space Harrier. According to the One magazine in 1991, Sega arguably pioneered the deluxe ground ride cabinet video game with classics such as Space Harrier. Sega went on to produce bigger and better motion simulator cabinets for arcade flight games such as Afterburner and the R360 cabinet for G-Lock Air Battle. Hideki Kamiya, the director of Platinum Games and creator of the Devil May Cry series, cited Space Harrier as an inspiration for his entering the video game industry in a 2014 interview. There were so many trend-setting definitive games that came out in the 1980s, like Gradius and Space Harrier. All these game creators were trying to make original, really creative games that had never existed before. Game composer Yuzu Koshiro was a fan of the game's music. He had said Space Harrier was the first time he had heard FM synthesized music, and the game inspired him to become a video game music composer. He considers Space Harrier composer Hiroshi Kawaguchi to be one of Sega's best ever composers. Well, there you have it, folks. There is the history of Space Harrier. I plan to play this game and hopefully beat it from my YouTube channel. You can find that at Retro Brain Gaming on YouTube. Hope you guys enjoyed learning the history of Space Harrier. I sure did. Hope you guys have a chance this week to play some Space Harrier or any game. That's fine. But I think it'd be pretty cool if you tried out Space Harrier. It's a pretty dope game, man. It's a little too fast in the beginning, but once you get the hang of it, it's pretty dang fun. As always, be good people. Be good to those around you. And keep on gaming.
Hey, thanks for listening to the podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please take a second to subscribe. And if you want to get a hold of me, you can at retrobendgaming@gmail.com. Thanks again, and as always, keep gaming.